Probably have the bulletin with the readings in it. Welcome. Mother's Day Sunday, Happy Mother's Day. Welcome to Youth Sunday, Happy Youth Sunday. Again, you're expecting a Mother's Day sermon or a youthy kind of sermon. Sorry, you can get your money back at the offertory or something like that. Alright. Love, what is it about today? So the collect, as we read at the beginning, for hurt of God, you prepared for those who love you such good things that surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things, and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all we can desire through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Beautiful. And a psalm. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. That's a good one. The psalm, like verses like that, they preach for themselves. You don't really come up with anything. You just say that. Sing to the Lord a new song. And it kind of does the work for you. You can take a lot of meaning from that. I don't have to tell you what to take from. Lots of good verses in here. In college, my rector at Canterbury, Tuscaloosa, told me that, well, when you get down to it, every preacher has about one sermon. And they say something kind of different. They use different language every week, but essentially they have one message. And they repeat it, varied. I don't know if I believe it, but I think it's a good place to start with one sermon. And so, if you hung out with me at all this year, you probably heard me say, I'm just going to preach one thing from now on. And most of the time, my sermons come in the context of a youth small group on Sunday night, so y'all don't hear my sermons regularly. But the message is the same thing. I'm not sorry that I preached just one sermon, but it's a good one, I think. So, the one sermon. What is the greatest commandment? Read your response.
Love one another as I have loved you.
Love one another as I have loved you. Those are all correct answers. Different language, but they say the same thing. Love. Love God. Love your neighbor. And as last week's reading in the letter of John, we're in the first letter of John right now. We have one reading from it today. We'll have more next week. Alright, as I said last week, you can't love God if you don't love your neighbor. Okay, so really, you have to love your neighbor first before you love God. Though loving God may be more important, especially with if then thing going on there. You gotta love. Okay, yeah, last week in that John reading, he said the word love 27 times in 12 verses. And this week he kind of slacked off, only saying it 5 times in 6 verses, but still, I think it's worth noting. Heavy repetition. Hear what John said today about love. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. And that's like saying, love God, love the neighbor, parent, child. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey his commandments, the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And here, this is the fact of Scripture today. Okay, one thing. And his commandments are not burdensome. Whatever is born of God conquers the world. His commandments are not burdensome. Fact of the day. It's true, and I believe it. So, not long ago, I began to sort of push back against this sort of idea that Christianity, the Christian life, is hard. It's a hard road. It's a hard walk. And it's a burden. It's hard to be a Christian. I don't believe it. And John's letter today seems to also fly in the face of that idea. If God's commandments are not burdensome, and the great greatest commandments are to love, then it should be a very easy thing to do that, to love. Okay.
What is the hard part?
I mean, think of it. Is it hard to choose love? Do you love somebody? Is it hard to love people that you love? Two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. So those are supposedly easy, according to John. What is the hard part? What is the hard part then? Maybe if love is easy, then the hard part is something like when you make an active, intentional decision to do something that is not love. Okay. When you are not loving, I think that's the hard part. Granted, not loving does not make up the Christian life. So rejection of that is the hard part. The easy part is being a Christian. Okay. Have you ever given up something? Anything? Have you ever given up anything? The answer is yes. Yeah, a New Year's resolution kind of thing, whatever. Eat better, exercise more, stop cussing, give up that substance abuse, and be nice to my neighbor, my friend, this guy that I hate, whatever. And so you give up something, and maybe the acknowledgement of that something, and the action of doing it, the hard part. When you take on the new thing that comes, you've got to remember the bad thing. That's the easy part. And well, so here's that. Until about 2 months ago, I had not spoken to my brother about 2 years. And this is a common thing that happens a lot of times in families, right? Whose parents have passed on. There's this whole deal. We've got to go, what are we going to do with all the stuff that was our parents? And you get this conflict that arises. And sometimes it's hard to see eye to eye. Okay? And the only thing you can do after you get so unhealthy is you just have to take some time apart. And that old line goes, time heals all wounds. And maybe it's true. And it turned out to be true, I guess, with my brother and I. So I was sitting in Birmingham about 2 months ago, doing my weekly thing, playing this bar. And I was sitting there about 5 o'clock. I set up all my instruments and stuff. And there wasn't anybody there. Me and the barman and two other people. It's 5 o'clock. People are just getting off work. And I set everything up and I'm going to go get dinner. And then come back. And so four people in the place. And like some kind of weird movie scene, I'm just like staring at the door. And of course, my brother walks right in. And I look at him. And he looks at me. I'm just going to look at him walk over. And, well, okay. I say, hello, man. Everybody sits down. Barstool beside me and talked about largely unimportant things, goats and football, music, and that was about it. Typical Harris family and adventure. I was waiting on dinner. I was going to go get dinner. I didn't go get dinner. I planned to go dinner. I had my friend bring me dinner. Okay. And so my brother, he stayed through about 3-4 songs or something like that. I played 3 songs. And then he had to go with his wife, was in college and home. Well, before I went on stage to play, he said, all right, so let's just let our bygones be bygones. Apologize. You hug like real adults do. Okay? You apologize and you make it. That's an adult, healthy way to do what? You admit sometimes that maybe both of you. It's okay. So, time heals all wounds. I believe that's true. Time also tends to just make things easier. As you get older, hopefully things get easier. So I'm getting older every day. Alright? I think 28 is not terribly old. It's still kind of young. But 28, when all of you are 28 that are in this room are getting close to 28, I think you might remember that, that is an age old enough to have earned at least your life to be your responsibility. Learn how to have perspective to discern things. You can look back and you can look forward to some degree with intellect. Okay. So 28, the road's kind of going on. And like my little story with my brother, there's bumps and there's valleys, and you got to walk that lonesome valley by now. And that song is wrong. We should never sing it here, because the rugged individualist idea of walking the lonesome valley needs to die a horrible day. Just like that song. The song has one thing right. Ain't nobody here to walk it for you. And if you try to walk it for someone else, you can do it unsuccessfully. But how that song should really go is, you have to walk that lonesome valley with your neighbor. Something like that. Okay? Because that is the call. So you walk the road with another person. You're loving your neighbor. Okay? John 7. You can't love God if you don't love your neighbor. It's good to do both. All this other stuff in life is stuff that is not love. Okay, that's the hard part. Love is the easy part, not love is the hard part. I'm right, you're wrong. Agree, disagree, admit fault, we apologize. We all claim a degree of imperfection as part of our makeup as humans, as Christians. So why should there be any surprise when imperfection shows up in our lives? We acknowledge it, we deal with it, we name it, our part. Dealing with it. Maybe you move on. Move on. Walk and get to your paths. So love. When you all love somebody, when you love somebody, man, somebody loves you. Feels good. When you love, feels good to love somebody. When it's healthy and good, it's easy. Like, man, you know what I'm talking about. There are no burdens in love. In this room. You've probably been to a wedding in church. If not, you will. Wait. Huh? Love. So, you have love in weddings. You have flower girls, ring bearers, fathers of brides, the whole bridal party. These guys in matching tuxes, vows, a kiss, some kind of honeymoon. So, wedding, marriage, that's a sacrament in the church. And the wedding has something in common with baptism and confirmation. That's in that list of things that I named. It's not ring bearers. Some people wear rings. Not a flower girl. And there's flower to read. That's not what baptism is about. Confirmation. But in those three things, baptism, confirmation, and the wedding, you say a vow. Make your promise known in public. It's a big thing. Alright, you stand and deliver your vows in public. How do you get baptized? How do you get confirmed? How do you get married? Because yes. No, certainly not. Right? These things that aren't rights. They're R-I-T-E-S rights. They're not R-I-G-H-T-S rights. They're privileges. And who's a privilege and responsibility? I told that one time. I don't know who. But why do you do these things? Why do you stand and deliver these public vows? Hindsight. As a wise old 28-year-old, unmarried, but I've done two of those three vows, tells me that some kind of loving relationship pushes you to make a vow in public. In baptism, even if you're an infant, somebody's making that vow for you. And then the church stands behind you and affirms that vow and makes a promise. They're going to be with you, they're going to walk with you. And see that you're raised, you thrive, and you endure in the context of these vows. Okay? And then you get baptized, and what do you do? You get confirmed. A further indication of that love, of baptism, and confirmation, what do you do? Maybe seek out a deeper understanding of the faith that is yours, find a way to put it into a better language, a little older than you were at baptism, perhaps. You make your vow in front of your friends, your family's there. You let the church congregation join in to say a vow, and then what? show of hands, who is baptized? Yeah, a few. And confirmed? Yeah, some more. Married? Wow. Impressive. Okay. So these sacraments, signs and symbols of love, public professions even of love, there's accountability, responsibility of accounting. So it's a relationship that fall on the shoulders of us, the church family. Even the wedding, you have a chance to object. There's a lot on your shoulders. Okay. So, move from these broad things to now more concrete, more physical sort of things. You may have noticed these little reserved spots. That they're reserved for you personally. The idea, right? Did you get it? It makes you sit up front? Mm-hmm. Yeah? And you're off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's the point? Like, if I was standing there preaching, and then it was regular, most of these are empty, and I feel like probably my teacher felt in junior high school, and create writing, I'll sleep in the back. Okay? But this is school. This is church. So when you come to church, you sit in the back, whatever. Kind of like this, where we have to sit in the front. And I'm just going to do everyone here a favor and not take those signs out. Some of you might. Okay? But I'm not going to. Because maybe no one should be sitting back there until there's no more room left up here. And then, all right, then you can sit back there when you have to. But this is not class. This is school. I mean, sorry, it's church. Not school. Okay? So you sit up front and you get into it. You sit up straight. You pay attention. You join it. You sing. You say the songs. You do the stuff. You pay attention. You learn. You take something home. You go. You get communion. You participate fully in the life of the church. Because as long as you raise your hands, you may about to do so. You may as well enjoy it. Sit close to everybody. It looks so much better here when you're all sitting close to each other. And I'm the number one criminal. I sit in the very back corner. I'm not doing anything. So. Okay. In the summers, here, we do this thing. Like or not. We go to one service, and that's okay. We go to 9 o'clock service in like 3 weeks. And that's good. It's good that the 8 o'clock crowd and the 10:30 crowd worships together when it doesn't normally happen, I guess, most weeks out of the year. That's okay. But I wonder if the fact that we go to one service at 9 o'clock is this the church at the same time sort of paying deference to summer and saying, we can take summer off. We're just going to go to one service. Is that okay? Does your baptismal covenant take the summer off? Did your confirmation vows take the summer off? Does your marriage take the summer off? The school takes the summer off. Love does not take the summer off. Okay. So the damage is done with the 9 o'clock. It's fine. That'll be okay. But what else do we do once summer comes? Do we spend the 1 hour, 1/168th of your week in church? That's less than 1% of your week with your church family, your family that most of you in here have vowed to grow up with. About to be in the community of. I get it. Take some vacation. I'm going to also. I'm going to get on the Sunset Limited and ride from New Orleans to LA. I'm going to enjoy some beach time in California and Major League Baseball. Great. Take a summer vacation. I get it. But if you're in town, for God's sakes, come here and let's do some community. Okay? You call it about to. At some point. And is your baptismal and confirmation vows as important as your wedding vows. Culturally, none. But it should be. So, okay, we can sit together. That's one way to love each other a little bit more. It's a little thing. We sit closer together. We join in. When we sit together, we start worshiping harder. Start loving more when we come in here. We start singing a lot. Start inviting more in. I don't think that's way too long until we flip-flop the summer culture on its head and then all these pews fill up. Right now, we're just kind of comfortable in the front half. That's okay. I'm not saying go to church and don't go to hell. That's just crazy. I'm not saying just come on Sunday. Or just Wednesday. But I'm saying we need to do community. And we don't need to get out for something. Consider your vows, all right? Most of you raised your hand. You made a vow, a promise. Did I do that bulletin? Okay, great. The college, the opening college, said, "For it is your hearts, such love toward thee, that we loving thee in all things, and above all things, may obtain your promise, which exceed all that we can desire." Promise. We made the promise. I think that in order for our congregation, I'm winding down, in order for our congregation to grace and St. Michael's, okay, drive into the work, we're going to have to do community. Year long, we're going to have to do a foothill state of God. Get into it. We're going to have to do a beans and rice. We're going to have fun with it. We're going to have to come on Sundays. It'll be great. You know, come on Wednesday. That'll be fun too. We're going to start Sunday school. We're going to keep having Sunday school in the summer, I should say. And you should come to that too. Maybe you come 2 hours a week instead of one. I don't know. But if you're in town, do summer at church. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. Consider your vows. You've made a promise. I wonder if you promise that you've made. Are you keeping it? Or are you keeping your promise? Your public profession? And keeping that promise in the name of love. Not school, but life. Life doesn't take some break, neither does love. Love, right, is easy. As John was saying, love is my one sermon. Love is the greatest commandment, and love is your vow. Do love. No apologies. We're going to be okay. Let's go down.